Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And now, let's see. Now, we don't ask me about this too much. Okay. A little jewel in there. I see, pretty it up a little bit here. A lot of color in it. Y'all got 1 Corinthians chapter 9 yet? Yeah, right. I just can't make a plane fly off of that. Now, do y'all know what this is? That's a crown. And I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to draw the cross. Okay. As a believer, you should never take your eyes off of them two things. That's the most important thing as a believer in your life. Now, I'm serious. There's nothing more important. You say, well, what about my life? What about my family? Nothing more important than them two things right there. If you've got your eyes on the cross and on the crown, then all the other will take care of itself. Now, the reason why believer's life gets all out of sort is because they take their eyes off of one of the two or both of them. And they get it on themselves. And once you take your eyes off of these two things, you go downhill. As a believer, if I'm looking at the cross and I'm looking at the crown, then my life in between will be what the Lord wants it to be, and I'll do the things that the Lord wants me to do. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better wife. I'll be a better father or a better mother. I'll do the thing. All the other things that we think's important will come into play and everything will be smooth. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I would put, we're going to start and we're going to finish over here, see? Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read, I'm just going to start in there, verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And Paul's not saying that he had power to save anybody, but the context has to do with the gospel. And it's the gospel that is the power of God and the salvation. And it's the gospel that saves. Now look with me. He said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, not knowing where I'm going, not just to be running, not having no idea of the finish line or the race that I'm in, but I'm certain of where I'm going. That's what he said. He's not running uncertainly. He's running with a certain attitude. I know where I'm going. I know where I come from. I know where I'm headed. I know what I'm doing. And he said, I run. So fight I. Not as one as beateth the air. You know what that beateth the air? Turn with me, hang on there, and let's go over to chapter 13. Now we're coming back there. Verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a what? A sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Folks, beat it. It has to do. Why we do what we do because we have charity. You know what a charity, you give. You give to help. And Paul said, not as one that beateth the air. Not as one that's just out there preaching or teaching to glory in what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He told the Corinthians in chapter 2, he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When I preach, I want to glorify the Lord. Don't you understand? It's all about the Lord. And when the Lord is not glorified, and when the Lord is not lifted up, then it's just a bunch of hot air. And preachers can, teachers can preach ever how long they want. They can yell, they can do all they want to do. But if it's not to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's hot air. Now look at First Corinthians again. In 1 Corinthians, look in chapter 8-9, where we was at. So fight I, verse 26, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's at the judgment seat of Christ. People talk about it being put on the shelf. At the judgment seat of Christ, that's the finish line. That's where everything's going to come to naught. Look back in chapter 4. In chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Notice in verse, let's just read, start in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the mystery of God. Faithful as a minister of Christ. Faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not thereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Are you going to have praise of God? Well, there's Sheila and Anthony from Albemarle. Go over there and sit there right there with June there. We just got your name on tape, so you can't deny not being here. Praise of God. Well, when are you going to have the praise of God? Look back. When the Lord comes. And when the Lord comes, He's going to bring the counsel of the what? The hidden things of the heart. The motive behind your service, folks. The motive behind what we do. That's why Paul said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not as unto men. In fact, look back with me and look over to Colossians. And notice in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, notice in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look down with me in verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect to persons. Well, if you're going to receive the reward, then wherever you're going to receive the wrong, that's where you're going to receive that at. It's at the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, God is not going to be a respect of persons. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to get what you got coming to you. You're either going to have shame or you're going to have praise of the Lord. Well, what's going to determine? He's going to judge the hidden counsel of the heart. He's going to judge the motive behind your service. Now, if you do what you do to get so you can stick out your chicken breast and brag and blow and look what I've done and I've done this and I'm doing that and all blah, blah, you can forget it. It's gone up in smoke. If I come up here and I preach so that men will applaud me and say good things about me, and don't get me wrong, I want you to think well of me. I don't like nobody to think bad of me. But when it comes to the Word of God and I'm preaching the Word of God, you can like it or you can lump it. It doesn't matter to me. Why? Because there is a reward someday. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm preaching what the Lord said. And if that bothers you, sorry. Now, I want people to think well. My motive behind my preaching, my teaching, my being a pastor, my going is for His glory. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice what he said. In verse 31, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I want praise from the Lord, don't you? Now, so we find we got a starting place. This is where we get saved. At the cross, where we trusted Christ. We're in a race, folks. Paul likens the Christian life as a race. And there's a prize at the finish. And that prize at the finish is an incorruptible crown. Now, who wears a crown? Kings wear a crown. Princes wear a crown. There is, folks, your inheritance. Now, it doesn't matter. Your inheritance got settled back here at the start line. You're in the race. You say, well, I don't want to be in the race. It don't matter whether you want to be in the race or not. You're in the race. And you're going. Now, there's something about a race. You find in a race, the runner has a lane to stay in. He's just not running all over the place. He's just not running here, and he's not zigzagging and cutting somebody else off and everything. He's got a lane to run in, and he runs in that lane, and he's got his eye on the finish line. He knows where his starting place was at. He knows where he's going, and he knows what lane to stay in. And a good runner stays in his own lane. That's the way it is with a Christian. God Almighty saved you, put you in the race. Now it's up to you to run. It's up to you to get going. And not stop, finish, zigzag here, do this, do that. It's do straight around the track. He stays in his lane. Looking for that prize. So the inheritance is the race. You got an inheritance. Look with me. And back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Every one of you that's saved by the grace of God, you're in the race. I mean, the gun has been sounded. Boom. We're off running. And you're running. Now, some of you might be running backwards. Some of you might be trotting. Some of you might be walking. Some of you might be just standing still. But you're in the race. And we'll say, what's going to happen? What's going to determine at the finish? How am I going to get that crown? This crown don't go to the fastest runner. This crown does not go to the one that finishes first. If that be so, Paul done got them all. It goes to the ones that finish. It goes to the ones that don't faint and fall out. Say, well, what happens if that happens? He's just laying in the track. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is what Paul says there. You'll find in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well then, folks, are you an heir with God, an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ? You can't change that. You are in the race and you have an inheritance. The problem is I just don't want the inheritance. I want the prize. look back in Colossians where we was at in Colossians chapter 3 again. Notice in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Two things. You're joint heir with Christ. You have an inheritance. When did you get your inheritance? You got your inheritance when you trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and you're members of His flesh and of His bones, and you're members of the body of Christ. Then you have an inheritance. But there is a prize, there is a reward that is associated with that inheritance that you can lose. He says there, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Looking back in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, he goes through all of the things that he could boast in chapter 3. And he counts them but dung in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And the folks, Jesus Christ, He bore my sins over here, and when I was born and over in my life in here, and my sins was put up to His account. My sins was put to Him, and He bore the wrath of God for me. I have that inheritance. You understand? I am righteous in that. But look on. And Paul said, come down, he said, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a high calling, and there is a prize that's associated with that high calling. You're in the race. You got put in the race when you trusted Christ, and you're running, and you're running for the Lord's glory. And if you're running for the Lord's glory, He wants you to finish, and when you finish, there's a prize waiting for you. It's at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you don't, look in Galatians. In Galatians, look what he says there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I tell you what, let him go back and read verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's true in whatever you do. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Not your life everlasting. You're not working to reap life everlasting. It has to do with somebody else. And he said, let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A lot of people's fainted. Look what's going to happen to them. We'll turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about divisions, envy and strife and divisions. 3. He said, verse 4, while one saith, I am Paul, another, and I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Well, that tells me that having names associated with your religion is carnality. You can't make no. That, I mean, you can't. You can scream about it. You can holler about it. But that's carnal. That's fleshly. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Your reward is associated with your labor for the Lord. Now it's not got nothing to do with how much, it's not how many people you do to. It's your labor for the Lord, whether you're ministering to one or to a thousand. Your labor. God wants you to be faithful. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, but another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul said the foundation of Jesus Christ he laid. Hang on to there and turn back to Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. You know what the problem is in religion today and Christendom and all that, you know, they will not distinguish between two programs going on in that Bible. They do not distinguish between prophecy and mystery. They will not distinguish between the new nation in the book of Acts and the body of Christ in the book of Acts. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, notice verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God in the highest. You going to the cross to die for my sins? Is that what he said? No. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him and saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. What shall not be unto thee? You're going to be killed and be raised again the third day. Now Peter had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom for over 3 years. He'd raised the dead. He'd cast out devils. He'd done many wonderful works. Why, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, the works that I do, ye shall do, and greater works than these shall ye do. And he sent them forth in Matthew 10 and gave them power over the demons and over the sicknesses. And they went out there and they healed people and they cast out devils and they had power and they was carrying on a ministry for over 3 years and he didn't even know he was going to die. And when the Lord told him he was going to die, he didn't believe it. Come on down and look what he said. Look back with me in verse, in chapters there. In chapter 16. Notice where he said. Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, he knew that much, didn't he? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now tell me something. If God the Father would reveal that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why wouldn't He reveal to people that He was going to die for His sins? I mean, Paul said we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why. It wasn't in that program. And God Almighty was ready to be revealed. God knew when He was going to reveal that revelation, and He knew to whom He was going to reveal that revelation, and it wasn't to Peter. So how did Peter find out about the gospel that Paul preached? He goes up in Galatians chapter 2 and he communicates it to him. And before that he didn't know it. But look on, he says there, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You build something on a foundation, don't you? And he said, upon that rock I'll build my church. What's the rock? Well, it's Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul even says the rock that followed Moses and them was Christ. Well, what about that rock? Peter, what about that rock? He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. He's the Anointed One. He's the Christ, the Son of God. I'm going to build my church upon that rock. Paul never laid that foundation. You want to see it in action? Look in Acts chapter 8. They're building upon that foundation. Look in Acts chapter 8. Now no man can lay anything but Jesus Christ, but you see, it's how He's preached. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know that verse? But that don't mean that He hadn't changed His way of dealing with people. In Acts chapter 8, notice the Philip there. And there's an Ethiopian eunuch, a eunuch coming from Ethiopia. Let's look down and verse 27, he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. People say, well, he's a Gentile. Oh, he's a Jew. He's just of Ethiopia. The eunuch of great authority and the Canaanite queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure. He was a steward for the queen. Had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now ain't no Gentile going to Jerusalem to worship. So he comes there to worship. It said unto Philip, here, join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither and to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears. So he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. And he's reading this. Verse 33, and in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the cross. No, he preached unto him Jesus. And when they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Then the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? You reckon Philip mentioned baptism to him? It'd be foolish to say, here's some water. What's going to hinder me to be baptized if nobody's been talking about it? And said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believest what, Philip? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon this rock I'll build my church. What was the rock? It was the profession of Peter. What was that profession? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And old Philip said, stop the chariot, went down both into the water, and he baptized him there, and he was in that Jewish church, and the foundation to get into that church was believe that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, and submit to water baptism. Paul never laid that foundation. And if you build upon the foundation that Paul laid, it contradicts each other. What is the foundation that Paul laid? That Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that God raised Him the third day according to the Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No water to it. Don't have to do nothing but believe. Praise God, isn't that wonderful? Amen. You know, if I had to worry about water, is it running water? Is it warm water? Is it water in the baptistry? Is it in a pond? Is it in a lake? Is it in a... Do a sprinkle? Do a dip? Do a emerge? Do a... Tell me how to do it! Oh, I believe in following Paul. Where did Paul tell you to do it? And if he didn't tell you to do it, where did he tell you how to do it? He didn't. Two foundations. Back in Corinthians again, and I'm going to close. My time's gone. He said, other foundation no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's right. If any man build upon this foundation, the foundation of all laid, gold, stones, wood, hay, stubble. Do you know what wood is? That's a dead tree. Hay's dead grass. Stubble's dead wheat. Dead, dead, dead. He said, listen, he said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not how much, but what sort. It's either going to be dead, so what's dead? Flesh. Or it's going to be gold, silver, precious stone. The prize. And he says, every man's work shall be of what sort it is. If any man's work, verse 14, abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You're in the race. And all of your life, you started when you got saved. You're in this race. God has put you in the lane that you're to run in. And you're keeping your eye on the finish line for the crown. Never take your eyes off of the cross. If you take your eyes off of the cross, or the crown, you begin to waver. And you'll trip, and you'll fall, and you'll end up suffering loss at the judgment seat of Christ, where every man will have praise of God. Now, you know what this crown is? It has to do with glory. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Has to do with your reigning and how much glory you have in eternity. Whether you're a prince, principality, a servant, or whatever. It's determined on what you believe in His book. All right. Shake hands with one.